Welcome to the Patricia King Podcast.
We are going to build the kingdom of God in this hour. Jesus is sitting on the cloud. I believe that we are in the end time harvest season, but we're going to do exactly what he told us to do. We're going to disciple nations. Amen. The title of my message this morning is called If My People. And we are in an If My People season. In the history of the church, never before has there been such a critical hour for us to align with God and to fulfill the invitation that he's giving to us in this hour. It is an If My People moment. And the church has been given the life of Christ. He is in us. He is in each and every one of us individually as we receive him. And then corporately, as we come together, we are called the body of Christ. We actually represent the fullness of who Christ is. And who is Christ? He is the Savior of the world. He is our deliverer. He is our healer. He is our King. He is the Lord of all lords. He is the owner of everything. And for all eternity, he will rule and reign. All authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto him. And he put himself inside of us. And I think a lot of times we lose sight of the fact that we have this resident power within us. We are not victims of demonic plots. We're not victims of what's going on in the world. We're not victims of circumstances. We are the head and not the tail. We are above and not beneath. But if we lose sight of that and don't exercise our authority, then the circumstances of life could bring us down. And we can actually sit back and let them happen when we don't need to. And we are in an hour right now where God is calling his church that rules to emerge. And that is the invitation of the Lord. It's if my people. We have been given authority and we've been given his presence, but we must use it. We must unlock it in this hour. We can't do just a bunch of churchianity stuff anymore where we show up in a service once a week and then that's it. We have to rule and reign. And that means ruling and reigning over our personal circumstances as well. So let's take a look. I'm going to look at a few scriptures this morning, but the obvious one will be 2 Chronicles 7. And I'm going to read from verse 13. Actually, all the way down to 16. And this particular scripture portion, since March, has been the most highlighted word from the Lord in the mouths of almost every prophet I know and every leader I know in the body of Christ. God is calling us to attention to this scripture. And it says, if I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. So this is speaking of judgment. Now, my personal thoughts on judgment, for the most part, this isn't a complete picture, but it is a big picture of judgment, is consequence. It is consequence. God set law into place. For example, gravity is a law that God created. Whatever you put up is going to come down. It's just a natural law. God created it. So if you go to jump off a cliff, you could say that the law of gravity judged your action, right? Because of the consequence of that action. And so in Romans 6:16, it says that whoever you submit yourself to is whose slave you become. So if you submit yourself to righteousness, then you become the slave of righteousness or the servant of it. If you submit yourself to sin, you then become bound by that. You become ruled by that. That's just something that the Word of God teaches us. In Deuteronomy 28, you'll see 13 verses of blessings, and then the rest of the whole chapter is all about curses will come upon you if you disobey the Lord. So it's the law. It's you know, there's the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. There is the law of sin and death. There is a consequence for every action. When you choose God, there is a consequence of blessing. When you choose to disobey him, there's a consequence of curse. And don't think that just because you're a Christian that you won't get the consequence. Just look around you and you'll see a church body full of bondage and full of poverty and sickness and disease. Why is that? If all you have to do is just believe Jesus as your Savior and everything is hunky-dory after that. There's actual consequences. And I've seen for my own life, the moment that I got born again, and I became aware of God's ways, and I started aligning to them. It was blessing after blessing after blessing. Just followed it because it's a consequence, or you could say it's a judgment. God has judged me to be favored and blessed when I align with him. It's a judgment of blessing. It is like a rule. It's like when you're in a courtroom and the judge of the courtroom is looking over a case, he will judge either in favor of the one who is before him or against the one who is before him based on the choices and decisions that were made by the person that has come before his bench for judgment. And it is very similar in the kingdom. We have a Savior who has stood for us and by us, but we see in our experience definitely the consequence of sin. So what God is saying here, this is amazing. He's saying, if that judgment, if the consequence of your sin brasses over the heavens, which he talked about in Deuteronomy 28, that if the people disobeyed him, it would brass over the heavens, or if I command the locusts to devour, in other words, if you have the consequence of that, and my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sin, and will heal their land. Now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now in this dream where the Lord spoke this to Solomon, it was a dream, and Solomon was building the temple. But the temple is a picture of us. It is a picture of us. So when God told Solomon, my eyes will be here perpetually, my ears will hear perpetually the prayers offered in this place, he wasn't talking about a building, because the building wasn't going to be there forever. But his people, we, the ones who are carrying his eternal presence, is what he was talking about. So the prayer offered in this place, come on, folks, in this place, in his body, will be heard by him. He said, if my people will fulfill four qualifications, to humble themselves, to pray, to seek his face, and to turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and heal the land. So the healing of the land is not dependent on the unsaved. The healing of the land and the quality that we live in life is dependent on the state of the church. So if there is a sin-ridden church, and if believers are careless and they're just showing up at a church service on Sunday, let's say, but the rest of the week they're living like the devil, don't think that it's going to go well. It is not going to go well, no matter how much you say, Jesus is my Savior, Jesus is my Savior. His blood cleanses me. There's an alignment that takes place, even though those things are true, that his blood does cleanse you, but it comes on his order, not on yours. It's his divine order. So we are in this very critical place right now in church history. He says, for I have chosen and consecrated this house that my name may be there forever. Talking about you and I, and my eyes and my heart will be there perpetually. And so as we represent Christ and he puts his spirit in us, we have this amazing privilege to align with God and bring whole nations into glory. And the promise we have in the word is that the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. We are going to see God move in great ways and his presence manifest in such great ways that we can't even imagine it at this time. But he's calling his people into alignment. This is an if my people season. This is an if my people invitation. This is an if my people call. And we want to say yes to that call. And so we see here four things in this particular scripture. I'm going to be looking at some others too. He says, if my people will humble themselves, if my people will humble themselves, if we humble ourselves before God, the Almighty One, when we say, God, you are the all-wise God, We're not going to put our ways. Right now in the nation, we have people saying, we'll make up our own rules. We have politicians saying, we'll make up our own rules. We're going to pass laws that not only allow abortion, but even late-term pregnancies, even when the baby's coming out of the womb, we can kill it. Whose law is that? It's definitely not God's. And I wish I could say that it's only the unsaved that are believing that. But there are saved believers, even pastors, who are in agreement with abortion laws and are voting for it in this election. They've just come right out on Facebook and said, I'm voting for this party because I'm behind this party. I can't be behind this one, so I'm going to vote this one. And so they are voting late-term abortions. They are voting all the transgender issues. They are voting for all kinds of things that are anti-biblical. And these are pastors and leaders. But this is an if my people moment. So we have to humble ourselves and say, God, your way is the right way. I'm not going to dictate, you know, what I think is right. I'm going to humble myself before you. And even if I do not understand fully your thinking behind it, I'm just going to humble myself before you and exalt you alone and believe you alone. And come on, church. Now, there's going to be a remnant of people that actually believe this and do it. And there will be those who don't. But Shilohites, we will be a people. And we are a people who humble ourselves before the Lord. And we say, Lord, you are the all-wise God. You are the righteous one. We believe your word. We're not going to make up our own rules. And we're not going to do things our own way. Because you alone are God. And we will exalt you above all else. We will exalt you above government leaders, above government law. We will exalt you above all else. And if it ever came to the point where we may need to make a decision contrary to the law, that we're forbidden to worship or forbidden to read our Bible or whatever, what are we going to do? We're going to exalt him. We're going to exalt him because we humble ourselves before him. And he said in verse 14 also, if my people will pray. If my people will pray, you know, the Bible says we have not because we ask not. And we see a parable that Jesus taught in Luke 18. And it was the parable of the widow who is coming before the unjust judge. She was coming before an unjust judge. It could be a political system that was unjust. And she kept coming day and night demanding her rights. And the judge would not give her the rights. But she just kept going with persistence. And as she persisted, the unrighteous judge got fed up with her coming, that he finally released her will to her. Now, there's something to be learned there. If we just keep pressing in, if we just keep hounding the doors, even of government, and saying we want laws that are in alignment with God, if we just continue to go for it and not be silent, not be quiet, and not be ashamed. Last week, Jody Hughes was sharing last night, you know, unashamed boldness. And that's what we need in this hour. But Jesus was telling the people that prayer. He shared that parable. So he said that you would learn that you ought to pray and never give up. And he said, but when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? So what he was saying is, in the end especially, we're going to have that kind of tenacious faith that never gives up. Because he said, this is what the unrighteous judge did. How much more is your heavenly Father going to answer those who cry out to him day and night? Will he not answer them speedily? And so we need to remember that we serve a righteous God, but we have a privilege, we have a right, and we have an obligation to pray. If we don't pray, you know, some people just say, like, okay, well, God's going to do what he's going to do. I don't have to pray. I don't have to do anything. God's sovereign. He's just going to do what he has to do. And that is absolutely not true. God can do anything. But he won't do anything without our involvement. because he's given the earth into our hands. He's given the earth into the hands of the church to steward. Come on, church. Have we been stewarding the earth? Have we been doing it? And Jesus said, if you pray and you endure, God will hear and God will respond. But he says, will I find that kind of faith? Will I find that kind of action when I come? Will I find that kind of perseverance? We can get busy with so many things. We can put so many things ahead of our prayer life and our intercession. But he's saying, will you pray? And when God gave me an encounter back in June 27th, and it was this urgency to pray for safety for the nation, it was so real that our nation was in jeopardy. Back then, it was so real. And we launched the 24/7 prayer. We've got over 20,000 people praying nonstop and continuously around the clock for the nation. And it was only a matter of like maybe 2, maybe 3 weeks when I started to feel the severe pressure lift off my spirit. So I knew things were happening, but it's not over yet. It's not over yet. And we can't take for granted the freedoms that we have in this nation. And if we don't position ourselves properly, we will lose our freedoms. And he said, if my people will seek my face, to seek his face, seek his will, seek his purpose, seek his favor, seek him. It's very easy, even in ministry, to get so busy doing the stuff and trying to figure out all the stuff to make all the wheels turn that you can neglect what's the most important, was sitting at his feet, gazing into his face, listening to his word, getting direct one-on-one. And it's important for every single believer. Every single one of you need to learn to hear God for yourself. You need to seek the Lord on your own. And if you do, I can guarantee you that when you come to church on Sunday, it'll be spoken very similar things to what you already heard the Lord speaking. It'll be a confirmation. You should never come to church to have it as your lifeline to the voice of God. You need to hear God. Every single one of us needs to put God as a priority, to seek his face, to seek him. And he said, and if my people will turn from their wicked ways, come on. Come on, church. You know, we can do it. It's actually easy when you gaze upon him. When you see a God who is so moral and so upright and so life-giving and full of integrity and full of good words that he speaks out of his mouth and good actions that he does, when you gaze upon him, you can't do anything but want to be like him. And people that are out there living immorally, they do not look at God. They are not seeing him. I don't know what they're looking at, but it's not him. You cannot look upon him. You cannot commune with him. You cannot know him and live immorally or dishonestly. You're turning your gaze towards something else. And he said, we need to turn from our wicked ways. And wicked ways shouldn't be named among us. We should never hear on the news that some leader was abusing children or some leader was out, you know, taking advantage of women and having sex with them, or some leader was exploiting funds. We should never, ever have to listen to that. It shouldn't be in our midst. But I'll tell you, we are in a season of everything being exposed. Everything. Everything is being exposed. Everything is coming out into the light because God wants to do us good. He wants to give us great blessings and pour out great blessings upon us. But we need to be aligned. He said, if my people, this is an if my people season, if my people will align with me, if we will humble ourselves, if we will pray, if we will seek his face, if we will turn from our wicked ways, then he will hear from heaven, will forgive our sin and heal our land. But there's a big if. There is a big if. And once we position ourselves, then we can go around and teach others and model. I had a dream about it last night. I even led someone to the Lord in my dream last night. It was so cool. It was so full of life. It was like a real dream. And, you know, sometimes your dreams aren't just dreams. You're actually in the spirit performing things. Okay, number five. If my people will exercise their dominion and authority. Now, in Matthew 28, verse 18 to 20, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given unto him so that we are to go and exercise that authority. In Matthew 16, Jesus asked Peter, he said, Peter, who do you say that I am? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. In other words, you're the Messiah. You're the Savior of the world. And Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father in heaven. And then he said, and upon this rock, the rock of revelation, that Jesus is the Messiah. When you have that rock of revelation, he says, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. So whatever Jesus accomplished on the cross that is established in heaven, when you take that authority and put your stake in the ground in the earth and you stand on that, heaven will back you up. And we can do all kinds of things with binding. You can bind the enemy. You can, you know, it means to fasten or to tie, to keep something from straying. You can bind the enemy. You can muzzle him. But you can also bind your feet to the path of God's righteousness. That's a good binding too, right? And he says, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. You see, heaven is waiting for us to do something in the earth in order to get behind it and have that convergence of heaven and earth together, advancing the kingdom. And that's what we're coming into in this hour. If my people will exercise their dominion. We have the dominion. But we don't exercise it. I was challenged with a bit of a health issue this week. And I just the Holy Spirit used it to expose in my own life my shortcoming of faith. And I thought, oh, mijo, I don't feel good, oh, this, oh, that. You know, you just kind of feel sorry for yourself because the symptoms are yelling at you, you know. And then I thought, shoot, man, I've got authority in Jesus Christ over sickness and disease. Why am I not using it? Why am I not looking in the mirror, speaking to what was going on in my body, commanding it to come down and shouting the authority of Christ at it? So I did it, but I was doing it in a wimpy way. Because my body was feeling, you know, but I feel horrible and all these organs are shouting at me. And I had to make myself use authority. And I thought, oh my gosh, I'm just being transparent right now. If I can't even take dominion over some food poisoning and stuff that was going on in my body, if I can't take dominion over that, how am I going to exercise dominion over the bigger things? I better practice right now. I better command my body to come into alignment. I better command any circumstance in life that needs to come into alignment. That's our practice place for our dominion and authority. If my people will exercise their dominion, but it starts with us. And I had to expose to my own life how little I operate in. Because the moment I get uncomfortable, it's like, oh, I don't feel good. I just, you know, no, I should have risen up right away. And that's not, I'm not condemning myself for it. It's just, you know, I can see it. Let's put it that way. And I'm invited to go to a higher place, you know, and to take the stand and to walk it out by faith. And yesterday I just got out there. I thought, I'm just denying symptoms. I'm going to deny this, deny the weakness I feel, and I'm just going to be strong in the Lord, the strength of my mind. It is amazing how everything shifts when you do that. And sometimes, come on, church, sometimes we just let things happen and don't bother addressing them, even though we've got the dominion and authority to do it. We've already been given the dominion and authority, but we have to exercise it or else it's just mute. The devil will just go all over the place, do whatever he wants to do. He's the one who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. That's plain in Scripture. And sometimes we just stand back and watch him and say, oh, the devil's just really, you know, striking me with fear right now. Or he's really bringing me down. Or he's attacking my home. Or he's attacking my health. And he's just such a bad devil. Well, yes, you got that one right. But what you don't have, right, is you've got authority to whack them out. That he says you can tread them under your foot, and that you've been given power and authority over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall injure you. And we need to start taking our dominion and putting things in place and exercising our authority and start doing it now in your own life. There's something that God's giving me, a new project, that I am taking dominion and authority over, and I'm going to stand, and I will have a victory because God's given the victory already. We just have to secure it. So he says, if my people will exercise their dominion. How often have you heard in the church on Facebook, just go on Facebook and read a few posts, and you can see moaning and groaning about the government, about the state of America, how bad it is, it's so terrible, and what about this, and what about that, and exposing what so-and-so said or what so-and-so did, with absolutely no statement of victory that follows. We're just giving the devil his own testimony from the church. And God's saying, if my people who are called by my name will smarten up and take some dominion and authority, it's not that those things won't be seen, but we can do something about it. Number six, if my people will believe big. Ephesians 3:20. Now, I think COVID struck masses with fear, even in the church. Saying, oh, I can't do this, I can't do that. And we felt confined. Oh, I got to wear a mask, I got to do this, I got to do the other. And so the mindset of that put us in a place where we stopped dreaming. I don't know if I can dream because. I don't know if I can do this because. Someone told me just yesterday, even, because I was dreaming big on something. And they said, I think you should wait till after the election and see how it goes. And I thought, what's the election got to do with my life in Christ? What's the election got to do with my promises? The election is not going to determine my quality of life. And neither does COVID. We have had a great quality of life ever since COVID. God has been so good. I could write a book from all the blessings that we have received from March till now. So why would we give ourselves over to the negativity, the complaining, and the confinement that the enemy wants us to think, oh, well, I'm just a poor little Christian, and, you know, they're just making us, you know, do all this social distancing and stuff, and I don't think I can, blah, 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 and I can't do this, and I can't do that. Come on, let's talk about what we can do. Let's dream big. Let's dream big. And COVID hit. We didn't sit back and say, oh, no. We can't preach the word now. Are you kidding? We preached it more than we ever did. We just got online. We just started enlarging. We started dreaming about ways that we could get the gospel out, about the way that we could. And there was more ways that we could than ways that we couldn't. We are unstoppable. But if my people will dream big, what are you dreaming about for your own personal life? Are you confined in your vision because of COVID? Are you confined in your vision because of a coming election? Are you confined in your vision because of what your employer said? Nothing should confine you. Everything should catapult you into dreaming big for your life, but let's dream big for the nation as well. We have to dream big for this nation. When the Lord reveals to us the enemy's plan, that's not so that we come into agreement with the enemy's plan. It's so that we can put ourselves inside of God's ability and God's plan that is beyond it, and so that we can live in the abundance of the bigness of that vision and the greatness that'll be better than it ever has been, that our nation will be better and greater than it's ever been in God, because God has a people. God has a people. It says, if my people will believe big, not believe big about the plans of the devil, believing big about what God can do. Ephesians 3:20 says, now unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works within us, if my people. See, you got the power, but it's if my people. We got it, but are we using it? Or are we living in a confined state? Even those of us that are, you know, being promoted into our senior years, we have to be careful how we observe that. Because you can look at your senior years as confinement or acceleration. It's never been so good. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm so excited about the coming decades. I probably have about 3 of them left in this earth and then eternity beyond. But as long as I'm in this earth, I'm going to live it big. Amen? Because there's fruitfulness and I'm going to live a lot bigger with less effort. That's what wisdom gets to you. When wisdom fills you, that's what you get. I'm just taking it. I love what Jody Hughes said in a video I was watching. She said, fear is not your prophet. The voice that came through media with COVID was just fear, 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 fear. Can't do this, can't do that. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. The nation's going to fall apart. It'll never recover, blah, 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 blah. Really? Is that God's testimony? Whose testimony is that? Fear is not our prophet. When the devil harasses you and says, you're going down the tube, you can't make it, life is too hard for you, blah, 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 blah. Is fear your prophet? Or is the voice of God your prophet? Release your faith according to that metron of faith that's been produced in you. And don't allow the enemy's lies to get in the way. Believe big. What is your next thing that you can believe for? What is your next stage that you can move into that God would have you to do? And then the last point this morning is if my people will go. If my people will go, and I just want to make a plug for the elections, if my people will go to the polling booths and vote my will and purposes. But in Mark 16, 15 to 17, Jesus commissioned us. It was a command. It says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say if you felt like it or if you have time in your schedule. It's a command. It's a commissioning. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And that's wherever we're at. Even in your dreams, you can go preach the gospel. It was such a real experience last night. I remember every part of it. It was just amazing. I led a woman to the Lord in my dreams. I think one day I'll probably meet her in heaven and she'll say, you led me to the Lord. Remember this? Why not in our dreams, right? Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's go. Let's go. Let's not just sit back and wait. Yeah, you better wait till after the election and just see what happens. Or you better wait till after the pandemic's over. And then we'll see what kind of, you know, outreach we can do. There's people all around us right now that need Jesus. I'm just going to wait and see what happens with the pandemic. And then maybe then I'll go to the mission field. Really? There's a mission field right in your midst right now. Matthew 28, 18 to 20, as we mentioned earlier, Jesus said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given unto me. And so we're to go. Where? To the nations. To disciple nations. Now you might say, yes, but have you heard about COVID? We can't travel. Shut up. Right? You can totally travel. It's like Dr. Bishop Hammond says, I've just been Zooming around the world. He's been on Zoom calls ever since COVID broke out. He said, I never preached to so many people in my whole life. He's been to Korea. He's been to Singapore. He's been to Indonesia, to Australia, to all these different nations, Zooming around the world. Don't ever say no. If my people will go and touch lives around us and make a difference. And if we will go, by the way, into the prayer closet, Especially over the next couple of days, because I'm telling you, I know that this election is not in the bag. There's some treachery regarding this election still. I'm telling you. I know that a lot of prophets have prophesied the will of God. I believe it is the will of God. But just because something is prophesied doesn't mean it comes to pass. It is a potential. It is not a guarantee. And I can feel in my spirit that the results of this election are in the balance. It is not determined yet. And so do not sit back and relax. This is not a time to sit back and relax. This is a time to pray, 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 pray. And there's so many prayer meetings that are online. You know, we just finished even the one out at D.C. this last couple of days with Lance Wall now as one. There's been others. I mean, they're all over. I mean, you can just jump anywhere on Facebook and find a prayer meeting. We're having our own here right now, too. This is a critical time. Never before in the history of the church in America has there been so much prayer rallied for an election. Never before. And God is putting it on his people's heart to really move forward in this. So I just want to encourage you to lift up your voices, to cry mercy, to call on God's will to be done. And if I can encourage you, go around your areas and pray over your neighborhoods and pray over the polling stations. Pray over the counting of the ballots. Pray over all of it. Pray against corruption. So we can go. We can go on prayer drives. We can, you know, a lot of our team have been. Lynn and Kay have been out on prayer drives, and I know many others have been as well, that we need to go and make sure you go and vote for sure. And, you know, I've heard of a couple of unfortunate incidences where people, you know, weren't given enough time to get their move straightened out so that they weren't able to get approved for voting. But we can pray. And when we vote in heaven for God's agendas, when we vote in heaven for pro-Israel, pro-church, pro-life, when we vote in heaven, God will do something about that. But we need to create a tipping point. And I had a vision on June 27th of these two baskets. One was filling with sin and rebellion. Again, this is not about the world out there. This is about in the church. One was filling with sin and rebellion, and the other one was filling with prayers and repentance. And the Holy Spirit said one of them is going to produce a tipping point. In other words, one of them is going to carry more weight that is going to create a release of heavenly glory in the nation. Where are we at, church? I'm happy to say that there is a great remnant that has risen up in this hour, but I've been also made aware that there's many Christians that are opposing God's will in this. And so we need to pray. And I'm not even, don't even bother praying for a person or a party. Pray for God's agenda. Pray for his values. Pray that children are safe. I was praying a week or so ago into this and the whole pro-choice thing. And I thought, in a way, I believe in pro-choice. I believe that women have a choice. They have a choice on whether they're going to have sex or not, whether they're going to have sex outside of marriage or not. They have a choice whether they're going to use contraceptives. They have choices over their own body. But they don't have a choice to murder another one. That is not a choice. And so we need to pray. We need to pray. You know, this is not about a woman's choice. This is about saving lives that are being murdered. You know, this is about keeping alliances with Israel. This is about keeping the church free to express itself. Because those privileges were threatened not that long ago, and now the way has been clear. The reason we can even talk about things like this now is because the way has been made clear for us. And so we need to protect those things. We need to protect the borders of the land to make sure people come in legally, make sure that they're safe when they come in, make sure that corruption doesn't come in illegal forms. It's never good when you break the law. It's never the right way to get the will accomplished. It has to be done according to the law. And we can't have unsanctified compassion. You see, when God speaks concerning something in the Word, he means it. Does he have a compassionate heart? Yes, he does. You know, I've heard people say, yeah, you know, I just know that it's against the law, but I have compassion for the person. I have compassion for what they're going through. Absolutely. And we should have compassion. It would be wrong not to have compassion. But the way it gets straightened around is to do it legally, to do it in the right way. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. And a wrong plus another wrong doesn't make a right. So we have to correct those things. And these things should be important to believers because they're in the Word. Do we need to take care of the poor? Yes. And I'll tell you, America is the biggest giver to the poor in the whole world of any other nation, and has been for many, many years. The biggest giver of any. But we need to protect that. We need to keep that. We have, even in this last few years, we have generated more giving into the needs of others and helping societies that are crumbled get built back up again. We have been a leader in that. And we can't become political about it. We just have to say, God, this is what we are standing for because this is your will. And we're going to continue to be a nation that honors you, God, and not remove God from the equation. And that is being threatened. That is totally being threatened. This election is absolutely important. And God's word to us is, if my people, the future of America, the future of the nations that you're living in online, the future of it is if the church takes its place within the nation and takes the dominion and takes the authority and brings alignment to the things that are important to God, then we will see the glory of God fill the nation. And God's word will be according to God's ways, not man's. It's God's truth, not man's opinion. If my people. And I don't know about you, but I want to eliminate the if and just say, I'm your woman, God, and I'm 100% lined up with you. You don't even have to ever use the word if, because it's just established that I'm going to follow you all the days of my life. I'm going to do things your way. I'm going to celebrate you. You've got someone here in me who is 100% for you. You would never have to use it. Well, if Patricia were to serve me, I want God to be able to boast in heaven, saying, behold my servant Patricia, just like he did for Job. Now you put your name in there right now. You put your name in there right now. Behold my servant. No more ifs. No more buts. Just, here I am, Lord. Here I am, Lord. I am your woman. I am your man. I am your son. I am your daughter. Do you know that all creation is groaning? Romans 8:18-19. All creation is groaning. What about? What are they groaning for? They're groaning to see the emergence of the mature sons and daughters of God who are executing full-on authority in the Lord, so that all creation can be released from the bondage that they've been captive to because of sin. Now we've got the power, but now it's our time to go and set creation free. I was thinking about that this morning when I was praying into the message. I thought, I've got a few plants I can speak to. It's creation. I'm going to set you free, little plant. I'm going to set you free. Come on. You can practice on mundane things. Because I'm all creation. You can preach the gospel to all creation. It didn't say all people, creation. You can preach it to your dogs, your plants, the good news. And Romans 8:18-19, they confirm it. Creation is waiting to be released from its captivity, but we are the ones, if my people, will rise up and be who they're called to be, if my people. Do you know that your backyard garden can be a Garden of Eden if you were to release it from its captivity? Your dogs, do you know that the whole nation can be like heaven on earth? If my people. And this is not like, I love the message, but I don't think I'm one of them. I'll just talk to the pastor. He could be one. And I'll just continue to live my life like any other human being on the earth. And you forget who you are, that you are a separated people unto the Lord, and you're very different from anyone else on the face of the earth because you've got Christ in you, the hope of glory. Let's unlock him. Let's unlock him like never before, and let's establish authority. Let's shift some things. Let's not be a victim of any circumstance. Let's create a victory in everywhere that we go and all that we put our hands to do. Amen? You can stand to your feet right now. I'm just going to pray a blessing over you. Thank you, Father. Father, I pray right now for all of your people everywhere, not only in the house here in the studio, but also those that are watching online around the world. And Lord, I just establish in them a new zeal, a new passion for you and for your house and for your glory. God, I establish in them this desire, Lord, to rise up in this hour and to settle issues, to put the stake in the ground that carries your authority and say, no, this will align with God and his purposes, and I'm not going to move until it does. That we will be like that widow in Luke 18 that Jesus spoke about, that we will be relentless with your will and say, we're not stopping until we get it, until it's established, and we don't care what demons we have to face. We don't care what system we have to face. We don't care what circumstances before us. We stand on your word and we say, so be it. Lord, you have a people, and we call every Shilonite, we call your people who are called by your name, Lord, who are doing your will and your purpose and bringing forth glory in the nations. You have a people. And Lord, we celebrate you in Jesus' name. May every home represented here, every family be filled with your will and purpose, every mountain being moved out of the way, every valley being lifted up, and the way of the Lord being prepared for them, before them, for all that is coming, all the glory that is coming in these days ahead, in Jesus' name. I also just feel the Spirit of God prompting me to say, the results of the election have nothing to do with your well-being. When you look to God and when you stand in him, no matter what, he will overthrow powers in order to reveal his glory. And I feel that we have to take a stand, no matter which way it goes, we have to take a stand and say, God, we will support you. We will support your will. We're standing here with you, and we will exalt you, and we will move forward with the gospel. Nothing stopping us in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's Patricia's heart to build your faith, empower your love walk, and equip you for effective service in the kingdom. She prays you were richly blessed by this message. For more information about other Patricia King resources, events, or ministry partnership, connect with her on patriciaking.com. Also, follow her on Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, and iTunes podcast.